If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You're here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to Tina K. Kalia, who is a wild executive and book doula, on the topic of the power of telling your story and truly embodying your brand. Welcome to the show, Tina.
Thank you for having me again. So much fun.
I know you are a returning guest. It's so great to have you back. And this time we're laser focusing. We're going to be talking about books, everybody, which is exciting. So for those of you that don't know Tina, Tina K. Kalia is a feminine embodiment coach, best-selling author, book doula, and speaker. She is a sacred circle facilitator, unapologetic wild woman, a rebel, and fiercely devoted to helping female leaders break free from their limiting beliefs, reclaim their voice, and escape the not good enough loop that holds them back. Tina specializes in supporting women to overcome subconscious conditioning, gain self-confidence, and be more assertive, empowering them to take up space and make a more significant impact in their lives and businesses. She creates a safe space for women to explore and redefine womanhood, encouraging a deeper embodiment of femininity and soul purpose. Drawing on her decades of experience in publishing, Tina, an author herself, guides women to birth their personal stories into best-selling books as an extension of their brand. Her passion is to inspire women to be bold and reignite their zest for life on their own terms, in alignment with their values. As the founder and CEO of Fempreneur Pathfinder, a wild executive, Tina is on a mission to inspire women to sign their own permission slips, confidently ask for what they truly desire, to say no without hesitation, and embracing prioritizing themselves without guilt. She is the author and best-selling book, Corporate Rewilding, A Wild Woman's Guide to Reclaiming Your Feminine Power, available worldwide on Amazon and directly in New Zealand. There is so much for us to dive into there, Tina. So many buzzwords there about prioritizing themselves without guilt, giving themselves a permission slip. But before we dive into all that, I would love if you could share with our listeners, what exactly do you mean? You call yourself a book mystic. What does that mean? And how did life bring you to this place where you literally help women to birth their book?
Thank you for the introduction. And book mystic is something a little bit on the magical side, because writing a book is not just a straightforward thing. And I completely underestimated that when I started, because I have so much knowledge in the industry. I thought, oh, yeah, it's a piece of cake. You can go through that. But I found when I was really diving into my story on how I got to from where I started to where I'm now in business, there were some pieces in there that was really difficult to kind of relive them and put them to life on the pages, because it's not a memoir. And there's a fine line on how much is too much and what does the reader need to know to understand your path. But boy, did that book have me on my knees, because it almost felt like a therapy, like a portal you walk through. And then there is an element of fear where you go, ooh, the body goes into this, oh, I'm procrastinating and I've got writer's block. I found it wasn't that. It was purely that feeling like, I'm going to strip bare. I'm going to write everything that might have ever been an issue in that story that I had. And you write it for everybody to actually go and read it. And you will put your name with your image and your book title for the world to see. That takes time and it takes courage. And when I finished my book, I've realized that there's a lot of women with the same, inspiration as to why they ended up starting a business, because they want to help people not having to go through what they have gone through. Mm-hmm. And they teach, they coach, they become mentors. And for me, that little piece is that mystical, magical, because you do go into the subconscious of an author, of a woman, to understand what are some of those underlying things that we may be a bit scared to admit, scared to put out there. And hence the word book mystic came to life, or book doula, mm-hmm. because it is very much like a gestation period where it feels like birthing a baby, because it's part of yourself. So that's the best way I can describe it.
This might be a sweeping generalization, but I feel like Everyone has a book in them. Not everyone maybe feels called to actually write it and share it with the world. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think everyone does, or maybe not everyone has a book in them?
I would have to say yes. I think everybody has a story in a book, but not everybody necessarily wants to have everybody read it. Mm-hmm. Hence journaling and writing for the sake of writing a book. It is, regardless of whether you publish it or not, it is a huge step, and it's very helpful on your journey to knowing yourself better and being honest with yourself. But if you have a soul-led business, or you have a story where you've gone through some hardship, and normally that's this breaking down and crumbling until to come out the other end, and you want to make sure other people understand that there's a way out of it. When you have that motivation and your story becomes bigger than just your path, that's when you know, I really want to go. And I mean, most of the authors that find me, they've had this dream of writing a book since childhood. And I mean, I love books. I still read them. I'll never read something on a tablet. And I embraced audiobooks, which is fine. But there's something magical of actually writing it down. And
yes,
I still journal with pen and paper. I like the actual tactile portion of it. And finding your skeleton for your story in your book and writing it in actual paper, it feels a bit magical, like a spell casting. So yeah, I would say everybody has a book in them that wants to inspire people and become a touchstone.
I would love to hear from our listeners. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, I've got a book in me, I would love to know what type of book you think you have. You talked about memoirs. Some people might want to write, you know, a fiction novel. Other people might want to, as you're saying, share their own personal journey with some lessons learned and some wisdom. So you can send us a text, 2057, or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Let us know. Do you feel like you've got a book in you? And what type of book might it be? Something that I think a lot of people fear, if they even say it out loud that they want to write a book, is this concept of writer's block. And from what you said earlier and previous discussions we've had, is writer's block really just a tricky, glitchy part of their story that they might feel uncomfortable about? Or what is it exactly?
I think for starters, it is a huge project. When you look at maybe writing a bio or a short piece for your website or for an email, having something like 40,000 words where you go, wow, where do I even start? Even if you put the mindset towards one step at a time and 1,000 words at a time, a lot of writers go into the process very much in your head, because they go, okay, 40,000 words, if I break this down into chunks of 1,000 and map out all my chapters from the beginning and the title, I'm just going to fill it with words.
Yeah.
And especially in my work, and some of the stories that normally people find me about, because that's been my story, is you can't really do that in a very efficient way, because you literally go and say, okay, every morning at 11 o'clock, I'm going to write for an hour. And then you sit there and you go, you're looking at all of your titles you've written down and your chapters and nothing is coming. It's because we very much intuitively channel what wants to come through. And if you actually close your eyes and look away from the computer, sit in nature, or you're in the car, or you're watching kids' sports and your mind wanders off, it can be any number of things. Some women have dreams and they go, oh, I remembered something I haven't thought of in years. And a lot of dialogue with somebody like a coach is to find the pieces that really want to be told. And if you still, that will come up. And then I encourage people a lot to not overthink it. Just write. Don't look at every sentence that, oh, there's a comma there and that's not quite the sentence structure and there's a typo and I'll go back into the previous line. No, just get out of your head and really feel the words flowing in. And if you find that courage to actually not censor yourself in the process of writing, that's what an editor does at the very end. You want to just get with the flow.
Yeah, because I imagine if we edit ourselves in the writing process, we might edit out some of the gold.
Yeah.
So if for those people that are wanting to write a book, so whether you're in business or not, whether you're a man or a woman or whatever, and you feel like you've got a book in you, what are some kind of guidelines or tips or words of wisdom, Tina, that you can share with someone if they want to get that process started just in their own time? One of them you've just shared with us, basically the power of just writing and not overthinking, just start writing things down. what else can you share with us in order for people to get some momentum?
I would say be very clear why you want to write the book. Because I've seen writers who have written an entire manuscript and they wanted to have the book do a certain thing for them. And then when you look at the structure, they go, it doesn't actually deliver your reader to where you want to go. So doing this early makes it a lot more aligned to actually guide your words and really bring through what you want to have the reader experience with you, because you're taking them on the journey. But we have so many stories. Which are the stories we actually want to pull down? It's very much like crafting a keynote. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through this as well because I'm a speaker as well. So you can't just cram an entire book into 30 minutes. But then depending on who you speak to, it's a crafting. It's an intuitive thing to go, oh, I want to use this story and guide them here. So your why, be clear. Who is your reader? Often with soul-led businesses, it's a former version of ourselves. And then trying to remember, if it's a long time in the past, try and remember what it was like for you so you can get into the mindset of the person who will find your book. Because often they're at ground zero. They're at the very beginning of their journey. And we're already so much ahead. It's important that they find out, wow, she's gone through all of this. Then she's done this. And she's now on a stage, or she's a best-selling author, or a coach, or a business owner. It's really that soft crafting of the path of the story of the book.
I think you're so spot on with the connecting with the intention, or maybe looking at the vision of why you want to write a book. I have heard a lot of people saying, because you and I, you know, we're in the business and the speaking world, a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, your book is your business card. Do you see that actually works for people, having something physical that they can hand people to get to know them better and then hopefully move on and work with them?
Absolutely. If in this fleeting world of social media, of AI, and everything lasts just a quick second, even our attention span when we scroll has gotten shorter and shorter as we adapted to this online world we live in. Having a book is something that will continue to give for years to come. It's a big investment, hence putting some planning into it is important in my opinion, but it's the best investment you could make for a business, because people start to understand you, they're connecting with you, they're hearing the words. You can take that into an audiobook and you're with people in the car or on their walk. That is powerful, because in this artificial world, your voice and your actual persona and how you speak into what you've gone through, that is connection, and that is priceless. So it's for me one of the biggest things that I can say will transform you in your life. It will also make you a better coach, therapist, business owner, because you've been really honest with yourself, you've gone through the path, and that in itself is kind of an accreditation of your magic and your medicine and what you bring and teach in the world.
Magic and medicine. I love that. You've had 10 years of publishing experience. And just before you mentioned AI, how do you think AI is impacting people with book writing? Is it a bit of a risk, or is it making it easier for people? I did hear the other day someone talking about audiobooks and saying, when you listen to AI reading an audiobook, it's just not the same because it doesn't have the emotion of a real person. What are your thoughts on AI?
It's a fantastic tool, and I encourage everybody to have a good play because it's here to stay. But it's also a pink elephant in the room where you go, can that AI tool write my book for you? And I've seen programs out there that say, oh, you're going to be an AI author. I'd be very critically about how is that going to land with your audience when you actually are somebody. For me, I'm an embodiment coach. That goes automatically into a trust and a safety thing. If I let AI create my content or write my book, is that really me? And then when people connect with me out of my own integrity, is that really an honest way to lure people into your world if it's not actually really you? And this is something I teach, to embody your brand, show up fully. Bring that voice. Don't try and pretend that you like ballet when you're actually like I don't know, country rock. Show up as all of you, because it's very easy to try and, you know, streamline yourself to fit into a certain grid, into a certain niche, into a certain color scheme. Be yourself. And if that's messy and you like mac and cheese and not, I don't know, kale smoothies, don't pretend you do one or the other without judgment. But just be yourself. Show yourself. People do not want to just see a logo. And if you're one of those social media accounts that has a funky logo, I hate to say it to you, but you're going to have to get in front of the camera. That is the only human connection people will have with your brand. Because even some of the big names now, they have influencers or micro-influencers, which are more, they're not the Kardashian or those really big ones, but there are sort of small to medium people. People are actually voting and placing their trust into their wallet. So if you are a brand that says you're sourcing things naturally and all that, and you have some other things that is not living up to that message, I'm sorry, but that's going to hurt your brand. So if you're actually honest and upfront about this is not something I would do, then be upfront about that and people will love you for it because you're being honest. And a book is going to speak into that. They feel you. They have your words. So I use it to toss some ideas around. Sometimes there's word things. Like English is not my first language. So sometimes you go, it must be a different word.
Yeah.
And I mean, thesaurus and some of the other Google things, they might have used that in the past as well. It's the same process, but you have these new platforms that can do amazing things. But don't let it deter you. It's a tool. It's not a creator. And I would leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is the importance of people being the face of their brand, if that's and part of that telling of your own story is people seeing you and being in alignment and being in integrity. So if you just let AI write something for you, I mean, I've been trying out AI for some of my posts, and I do it, and then I just don't use it because I'm so used to creating on the fly. I'm so used to speaking or writing my own stuff in the moment. I don't really schedule and plan things ahead too much. That it just feels funny to me, but I agree with you in terms of tossing ideas around or just finessing something a little bit, maybe. But I think you're right. The importance of coming back to people expressing, and you and I are on the same page with that. This, it's so important for people to express and not suppress. So let's dive into that. How important is it for people in general, but you, I know you mainly work with women, to share their story rather than just keeping it to themselves?
I guess it makes you, and I don't like to use the word invincible or untouchable. Mm-hmm. And the other word I can't say because it goes into the swear word thing. But there is, you become a completely different force. You know, when you have a woman who walks into the room, who is so grounded in her own power without being a forceful thing that people mm-hmm. go, you can feel them. You can feel their presence. And I believe that when you bring that into your brand, that's when people start to magnetize towards you because they feel you. Mm-hmm. And by actually writing your story down, I mean, these are normally the things we don't admit to somebody. If you put it out there in the world, what else could possibly make you crumble on stage? It's all out in the open. No one can find and dish up dirt from the internet or those. I mean, when you look at celebrities, that's a different ballgame, but we always scared to go, what if someone finds out that I actually didn't go to university, or how do I back myself up with this? Or maybe they see the party photos from I have to be careful with the name, not the 80s. That was my partying without internet existing back then. But I think the audience will understand what I'm referring to. It's that, you know, life, I'm here. Throw anything you want at me. I've got it. Let me have it. And by putting everything out in the open, there's nothing there to really shake you. You can tackle anything. And it's a very liberating feeling, especially for women, because traditionally we have been told to be seen, not heard, to be polite, to play nice. Men toot their own horn at every occasion, at work, privately, in sports. What about women? We need to do the same, and we need to be bold enough to do that. And that's what I love teaching women, because there's something like a little light that you can see flicker behind the woman's aura. And then you go, that right there, bring all of that and see yourself transform and your business and your life and everything about you.
I think there is the power in that transformative process, because there's a difference between someone walking into a room and appearing confident versus, I think what you said is, a woman that walks into a room and she's almost magnetic because she's so grounded in who she is. And I feel like when you write a book, you've processed your past rather than trying to show people the shiny bits.
Yeah, it's a portal. It's a very cathartic thing. It's the ultimate transformative piece you could do for yourself. And that's what will get your readers really intimate with who you are. And imagine how powerful it is when women, or anyone at that matter, they read your book and then they come to the end to go, oh my goodness, she has just spoken to me. Mm. She knows me. And I'm feeling the exact same thing. Like, did she just say that out loud? How does she know me so well? That's the magic of a book. And if that hits your reader, they will find you. They will be your number one fans, because they know this woman has walked the same path. I didn't think there was anything different for me when I was that woman 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I look back, there is a huge, I'm not the same person anymore, but it's not a straightforward path. But the book was the ultimate closure on loops and loops. And I find it quite funny, because the universe has a sense of humor. My story and lots of what I've written about happened in a publishing industry. Now I've come through and I go, I really like the industry. I haven't turned my back on it. I have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
Now you can bring a more softer feminine part to it, to go, I want to have women not censored. I'm not changing your cover. Take your royalties. I want you to write it exactly the way you are. And then we'll put it out there. And this is you. This is you in a book on paper.
Well, let's get into a few nuts and bolts like that, because there will be people who are out there thinking, I would like to write a book, but don't I need to get my own proper publisher? And how much does it cost to get an editor and things? Are there a few little guide stones or do's and don'ts that you can share with us?
Yes. The biggest thing in the industry that I hear is like, oh, you know, you get a book deal. It sounds very great, and it still has its place. However, you will not have somebody do the marketing for you. It's for some people who have already got an audience, or they're a minor celebrity or a major celebrity. But in general, they will give you an advance. They'll pay you to write the book, and then they will censor it in a way that it suits, that it's palatable to the audience, because they ultimately have paid you to write the book and they want to recoup that money to make sales. Mm-hmm. So that is key number one. So if you're in any controversial industry, or you have words you use that are you, and you want to really get a book deal, be prepared that you're going to have a lot of red pen bleeding through your manuscript, because they are rewriting parts of it. And then, is that really you? And you still have to do all of the marketing and the groundwork to get the book out there. It will get you on shelves, but it could take months, years in some instances, for that investment to come back to you, because they take on average 50 to 55% off the cover price that they put out there on the shops to cover all that machinery that works in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, the biggest misunderstanding. And in this day and age, you don't really need to go through a traditional publishing house to get your book published, especially if you want to use it for your own business. Then you are the master of what you write. And I am kind of a hybrid, because I help with the writing process by virtue of the work I do. And then I round it up with the publishing knowledge, because you need things like an ISBN code. You need to have certain file formats. Editing for punctuation, editing for the story crafting. So it's not as straightforward as to go, oh, I'll make it easy. You can self-publish on Amazon. When you lift the lid, how much time realistically do you have above the writing, especially if you're a business owner, to actually get this book done and published? So there's extremes on either side of the scale, but a happy medium, unless you're in the industry, I would say it's worth the investment for something where you're writing your story.
I think for some people that will be a relief, knowing they don't need to get what you called a book deal and they don't need to get a literary agent. These are kind of terms that we heard about that people talked about maybe, I don't know, 10 or more years ago. They can still walk that path, but it's nice to know they can either do it themselves or get someone to help them. Can you tell me about somebody that has been up to their brave and written a book, someone maybe that you have worked with? I'd love to hear either like what they wrote about, or maybe the transformation. We talked about how it's almost like a portal, like processing their story and their journey. Can you tell us a little bit about someone like that that's up their brave and written a book?
Yeah, I tend to have women who have very deep stories gravitate towards working with me by virtue of the community that I hold. Mm. And I have a woman who has gone through a very deep grief process that then impacted on her faith. And she had signed up for one of those programs, write your book in 90 days. And she came to a grinding halt and couldn't, I'm stuck, I don't know where to go. She even had a book map. But when we actually started unpacking what she actually wanted to do, she's really in the process of, you formalize some of those things intuitively as you work with somebody. So there's been a lot of reflecting back, a lot of, and I don't like to use the word brainstorming, but just tuning in on what she probably hasn't thought about because it is so painful to go there. So I've been guiding her to go back to some of those moments, and there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of stillness on these calls. It's not, oh, have you done your 1,000 words we said from last call? It's not like a fitness
accountability
call. Have you done
session.
Your 20 press-ups? Yeah. It's a lot of space holding, and it allowed her to go safely back to some of those places where she didn't want to go to, and also me trying to work with her so they flow onto the page, because then I put my hat on as the reader, someone who doesn't know the woman. How is that land with me? And when you start having to wipe tears away when you read what was submitted, that's when you know there's a lot of trust between in the relationship of me as the book doula and the person as writing the book. This is why I don't like to use the word book coach. Mm-hmm. Book doula feels right, because by the time you fall pregnant, this is your baby. This is a very sacred thing and very personal. Mm. By having a book doula along the way, there's going to be not so much talk about is it going to be this or that when the birth starts. It's more about how you're feeling in this process. What emotions are coming up for you in pregnancy? I'm pretty sure everybody out there who's been through that journey can understand what that feels like. Writing a book that has anything with really deep emotions or stories from the past, it needs a different approach. And this is what I do. Space holding is something that I value for myself, that I honor. And women need to feel safe in their bodies to be able to bring deep emotions. And whether it's a circle or it's a membership container or it's a networking event, creating that personal cocoon, like I call them, is a very much a trust. I'm happy to share. And I do that as well when I work with women around grief and abuse, to go, well, I share from my experience, lived experience. And this is where the permission comes through from the author to go, ooh, she's cheering that. I feel safe to also go down there and see what comes through.
It sounds like a very therapeutic experience. I think when people think about writing a book, they literally think about writing, like actually pen on paper or type, type, type. But what you're talking about, it sounds more like talk, talk, talk. Is that one of the ways that people can release or express their story, is mainly having, well, themselves or someone like you ask questions and they just kind of, the story flows?
It's a give and take. At the end of the day, the writing is still going to has to come from the person that's writing the book. But me thinking of, okay, well, when I was in a place of grieving, what would I have done with reading something like that? Mm-hmm. And I put the hat on as the first time reader. before I do any editing that will go towards correcting or story crafting, I literally just let the words rain down on me. And I do it throughout the process that I work with someone, because they could go around a chapter for months.
Yeah.
Because they never feel like it's finished or it's quite complete, because one of the big thing is that imposter thing. Who's interested in my story? Why would anyone read what I have to say? So there's an element of that to go, okay, let's just, you know, close that, move on. We're going to let that rest for a while, go on to the next part of the book, and then we're going to review everything once you had some time to breathe, because a book is never finished. And yes, a book is ending, but any book that has a trajectory on a business, hence that why, and why you're writing that book, where do you want the book to go, and what does the book deliver for you, that has a big impact on how you work with somebody throughout the process. So it is a lot of inquiry.
It's so interesting, you know, looking back on my journey, and I wrote my first book, it was a co-authored book, so two of us, but we started solo. I started by myself because I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't anyone tell me? It's called If Only They Told Me. Why didn't anyone tell me all these things about, you know, parenting and having children and how hard it is on the marriage? And I wrote that book, but I feel like looking back, there's so many things I would basically go, don't do what I did, right? We took 5 years to write it. I was scribbling on notes here and, you know, sticky notes there and a notebook here. And some of it was in the computer. Like it was all over the map. And it was it was very helpful, and it's evergreen information. So it's still relevant to this day. But we spent a lot of money. We hired like a publishing house to help us, and then we hired a professional editor. And so I don't even know if we've recouped our costs. And then we eventually, when we got into the bookstores, I think we were making $4 per book or something like that each. Sorry, might have been total. So $2 each when we sold them through the bookstores. So I would probably recommend people basically just don't do what I did. Get someone like Tina to help you. But it is a process, having the courage to share what you consider to be important. It was just stuff I wished other people had known, so they didn't have to kind of struggle the way that I did in the early years. I've got a question for you. You call yourself a possibility agent, which I love. It's so intriguing. If we are to be the possibility agents of our own lives, how would we do this? What does it mean?
We would be honest with ourselves to what we actually want and where do we shortchange ourselves. What is aligned with us? Because often we find ourselves in, especially in careers and businesses, in places where it was an expectation that, like, I come from a family of doctors, or none of the people in my field have been to university. We often have things or parts mm-hmm. of our story that are not actually ours. Mm-hmm. And that is such a big step on shaping how we grow up to be before, because you get so busy that you continue on a trajectory like I did for so many years without ever noticing that something is out of kilter until you have no other choice, because you run yourself ragged. Mine is a story of burnout and breakdown. But it was because I was acting in a way and in an industry that was not in alignment with who I deep down was. So mm-hmm. a possibility agent can help you identify some of the things. And it's not just our own things. It often goes into what people refer to as epigenetics or ancestral lineage. There are certain things that are intrinsically inherent with us from the culture that coined us, from it could be a religious background, could be the area in the world we're born to. I come from Germany, so I come from two generations of post-war trauma, mm-hmm. of scarcity, of hard work and sacrifice and martyrdom. And I think it was when my father passed away from cancer, who worked his entire life, had a business, never really, I mean, most people, they have their 2 weeks holiday, they go to Spain or Italy and that's it. Otherwise, it's just same old, same old. And I realized, is that really, why are we all perpetuating it? And more importantly, why are we thinking that's the only way? It's because we have this mindset. And as a possibility agent, I love to go back and peel back the layers. And I wish I would have found somebody that actually would have connected some dots for me earlier. I turned 50 next month. I could have probably been very different 20 years ago. So I love to work with women at all ages to go, you can change that. I see so many inspiring young women who will go, wow, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I go, isn't that fascinating to have a different mindset? Mm-hmm. And women my age often feel like, oh, you know, it's too late to pivot. Mm-hmm. And what could I possibly do? And I mean, I train with somebody who is much older than me, and I'm a karate person. I have a black belt, which I got when I was 45.
That is so cool.
There's women who are much older who have second and third stripes on their belts. There's no such thing. There's a lot about this mindset that we put ourselves in the box. So as a possibility agent, I'd like to rip that box to part, have a look what's out there, and go, okay, well, let's explore the possibility of you, I don't know, climbing Everest or writing that book and setting up your own business, because you're not here to do it alone.
Yeah.
And asking for help as people pleasers and as go figure it out yourself, that feels like we're meant to do this when we get more mature and we get older. I should have this figured out. I mean, who in the audience has told themselves that? I should really have my stuff together by now. And when people ask me, what does 50 feel like? It's like, well, I'm waiting for that grown-up feeling in your head. And you go, maybe any day now, but I still feel no different in my head than when I was 20.
I think it's so important to have that, the possibility. I love that. And I love, you know, I wonder what's possible. I wonder what opportunities await, the curiosity of that. And I think you're right. Sometimes we confine ourselves by what our family did or has done or has always done. And, you know, for some people listening, it might be like, oh my gosh, I've never thought of writing a book. But now that I listen to this, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's divine timing that you're actually hearing this interview now. And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Tina K. Kalia about the power of telling your story and truly embodying your brand. And for some people out there, maybe this is a sign, maybe it is time to start writing your book, whether you do what I did, which is basically just start scribbling down random thoughts, or whether you hire someone to help you through that journey. It can be quite a process, quite a therapeutic process and a powerful process. The other thing for me, at least, as a business coach, I know a lot of people want to have what I call expansive impact. Well, if you write a book, you know, that is going to, the expansive impact of that, because obviously you print multiple copies and people will get it on downloads. You can help so many more people than if all you do is one-on-one coaching or like masterclasses and things like that. You can help so many more people. So if you look at it from an impact potential perspective, I think it's, I say to people, put the ego aside. It's not about, you know, your ego writing a book about yourself. It's look at all the wisdom you've collected into your basket on the journey of life, because we're here to learn and grow. And the book can just help you to have expansive impact. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think it's a legacy.
Mm.
Because you're the one, and I always look at everybody I work with, you come to a point where you may be that person that will put a line in the sand for whatever your story is and your lineage and what you've gone through to go, you know what? I'm going to break that mold and I'm going to do things differently. And imagine if you are leaving this planet and your book will forever live on. And having it in writing, I can't tell you the feeling when you get your first proof copies and you open that and you see all of that you've worked on and you're holding that book in your hand. It is like taking your baby home, because it is feels like a piece of you. And you're so immensely proud of that book because it is you down to a T. And imagine you going to an event, and I mean, the good thing is the cost of printing this in this age is a fraction of what it used to be. There's not thousands of copies sitting in a warehouse that you have to print. You can print them in sets of 50 or 100. You have an event somewhere and you want to give this to somebody to go into the swag bag or the goodie bag or have some for people to take away. They will have a whole lot of flyers and discount vouchers and business cards. But you're going to give them a book. I can assure you that these people will not. They might get rid of the pieces of paper or lose them, business cards, but they will forever have. They will not put a book in the rubbish. The book will be somewhere on their desk, in their lounge, on their bookshelf, and there'll come a day where that book will jump out and, oh, haven't actually read that. So don't underestimate that as something that will have you radiating into the world for years and years and years, and even as a legacy and inspiring others.
Can you give me an example of someone that has reached out to you after reading your book and the impact it had on their life?
Actually, yes. And this was humbling because I made the decision that I wanted to write the book because my story is one of breakdown and also multiple miscarriages as a result of that lifestyle. I've made that vow to my unborn babies. One day I'll write the story.
Mm.
And if that book makes a difference in just one woman's life, then that is the purpose of that book fulfilled. When someone sends you the message and actually tells you, this book saved my life, because I was thinking of all sorts of different things that I might do, and without giving too much of the information away, that was so humbling. It made me cry. When you sat there and you go, you had to take a deep breath, because that was what I vowed. That was my why.
Mm.
When it happens, it humbles you. And that's when you know it was worth it. And because you touched one woman in that way, there'll be more and more and more. I've had women tell me, I feel so heard and seen. I feel like this is me. I've been highlighting bits.
Mm.
That is such a, and this is not an ego thing. It is much deeper when you realize that courage for you to take your message and write it has given someone else that permission to go, okay, I'm standing up now. I'm telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that can look different for every person, but it is powerful.
I can even imagine there would be women that read your book and maybe they too have struggled with multiple miscarriages or corporate burnout. And they might then turn to their partner or their boss or their child, and they might even read, you know, a chapter or even one page aloud, you know, to this person. Or they might just hand them the book and say, listen, can you read page 37 to 45? Because that really is exactly how I felt, and I was never able to express it. So it's like you have the power to help them express what they never could, maybe.
Yeah. And I've gone through this with my husband, because as you can imagine, those things have a huge impact on your relationship and on your marriage.
Mm.
And I had to give him some parts to read before I published it, because I said, this is what I'm writing. I'm putting it out there. I want you to read the chapter. And he disappeared with the book. He's not a reader. And then he came back and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I had no idea that it felt like that for you, because you have so many conversations around it. And also a lot of stuff that you haven't actually been able to express until you actually put yourself back into those things. How would I get someone the outside to understand it with the hindsight of some distance and time? And he was floored. He said, wow, I couldn't actually stop reading. Once I gone through that one, I had to continue.
Mm.
And this is where there's no easy way to write your story, but it's worthwhile putting it out there for others.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, but not just for other women. You're putting it out there for the men as well. And obviously this interview is also for men who feel like they have a book in them and they want to share that with the world as well. So if you're wanting to up your brave, everyone, maybe you can write a book. Tina, if you were to up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do?
Finish the audiobook recording of my book, which is definitely in the works. I'm upping my brave by going to Japan at the end of the year to grade for my second black belt.
That's
how I have to do a tournament. So I have to get on the mat and have to spar, do all the things. So yes, that's how I up my brave this year.
I just had I'm a super connector. I'm just writing down, and Carrie Brightwell, one of my previous guests, she's a Muay Thai fighter. And I thought, oh, you guys could have a good conversation. I know they're different. I know they're different sports, but still get the upping your brave and getting on the mat. And as she says, getting in the ring, it's a lot. Oh, that's exciting. What is coming up for you, maybe business-wise? What have you got coming up? How can people find out about writing a book if they want to do that?
They can find me on socials. We also have a masterclass that's coming up on the 14th of July to talk about or to learn about all the things in publishing, to really inquire with us, is this for me and what steps to take? And that's a good starting point, because I open up my 3 months book writing container over the winter month when it's, you know, things like slowing down a bit for women to really get a start on that. I'm going to hold a book retreat in America in October, beautiful state of Missouri. And also, if you're a business owner and you kind of want to do a co-authored book where you have a lot of women or men, for that matter, in your field that you kind of want to create a legacy together, then I offer that as a done for you service as well, because you may have got the idea, but there's so many balls in the air to actually organize that and pull it all together that's often becomes a stumbling stone. If you are a business owner, you don't have time to do all of those things. So I can be of assistance with that too.
Yeah, I've actually been part of two of those. And one of them was a group of speakers and the other was a group of women sharing their own story. We each wrote a chapter. So is that what you mean?
Yeah, and it's a good starting point. Because I realized when I did that, I started with an anthology before I written my book. And then realized I have so much more to say. How can I struggle fitting to my 4,000 words or whatever it was? And it's a great way to get into the writing process, to understand how it works and not having to do it on your own. So I hold all of the co-authors usually in a group container as well, where there's some feedback. You kind of understand that you're not the only person going through some of the things. Mm. And it can be powerful. For some women, it works really well. For the others, they might want to do it one-on-one, which is something I also offer, or they're not feel comfortable to share parts of their story with a wider group yet, depending on what they've gone through. So I'll be there with one-on-one coaching as well.
Okay, so you've got a masterclass coming up in June or July, and we'll put all the links to that and also your website and socials on the replay page. What is your website, just in case someone wants to look it up, and also Instagram if you're there as well?
The website is fempreneurpathfinder.com, and on Instagram you can find me at the_fempreneur.
Nice. All right, and we will put the links on the replay page.
And I also have a free quiz, which makes it super easy for you to find out if you're ready to take on authorship. We'll share the link with you and you can find out if you're ready.
Oh, amazing. I love the sound of a free quiz. Okay, we will put that link on the replay page and we'll make that available for everybody as well. Thanks so much. All right. So any final words of wisdom that you want to share with our audience about telling their story, embodying their brand, or writing a book?
Final parting words: don't be scared. If you feel that real big hit inside and go, I want to write a book. Now is the time. And I mean, I'm work with astrology a lot. There is a big expansion with what's happening this year. So expression of voice, you can't underestimate it. And don't be afraid to ask for help. And so many people in business, they have coaches for business, they have coaches for finances, for their fitness journey. If you actually get somebody to help you with this, it's not taking away from what you're doing and what you're writing. It just helps you being more cohesive. So don't be afraid to get somebody to help you with that.
So excited to see what books, what chapters, what stories come out of this interview today. Thank you so much, Tina, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.